future is now. And welcome to the SVK Crypto Podcast. 15 minutes of crypto fame.
My name is Charles Story. I'll be your host for the next 15 minutes. We're coming live from the city of London, Shoreditch. So let's get down to business. Here's what you need to know. Here's what's been going down in the last 24 hours. Traders can now upload capital gains data into TurboTax. So TurboTax, the popular tax filing platform in the US, is adding a cryptocurrency section. The new feature will be provided through a partnership with CoinsTax, the operator of the tax crypto tax calculator that calculates Bitcoin taxes amongst others. It will be available to taxpayers who have bought the 2018 Premier and above versions of Intuit's TurboTax Online. Yeah, great news. But it's awesome. I think it's, listen, you're gonna have to pay tax, right? And why not make it easier for people to do so than leaving people in the dark and having to try and figure it out for themselves? So, you know, I think that's positive news there. And hopefully it also brings a bit of trust to people who are unsure about Bitcoin and other blockchain and digital assets. Like, if you're getting taxed on it, the government know what's going down and what's going on. So maybe there'll be some reassurance there. Who knows? We yet to see. But I think it's really interesting. And of course, we've got people already wanting their tax money on the back of it. Up next, you've got Venezuelans set new record in local Bitcoins trade. So while the government in Caracas is trying to regulate decentralized cryptocurrencies, Venezuelans have achieved a new record in the volume of their crypto trade on local Bitcoins. Data compiled by CoinDance shows that in the week of February 2nd, 2019, they exchanged over 17.3 billion Bolivia, which is their local currency, native currency, worth of Bitcoin Core on the peer-to-peer exchange trading platform. That's more than 2,000 Bitcoin, an all-time high for the market. I mean, that's interesting. We're seeing hyperinflation in Venezuela. We're seeing a lot of people going away from their native currency into digital assets such as Bitcoin. We're seeing it as a safe haven. We're seeing it as an escape out of the hyperinflation crises that's going on over there, which is really to the core of one of Bitcoin's most valuable attributes, a safe haven. And for the people in Venezuela, they are starting to see that and moving out of their traditional currency, their native currency. So movie theater in Brazil accepts coins for tickets. So Sin Multi has reportedly become the world's first, or Brazilian's first cinema, to accept cryptocurrency for the tickets it sells, thanks to a partnership with crypto payments provider Bancrip. The company maintains POS terminal accepting coins. The movie theater is located in the Multi Open Shopping Center in the city of Florianópolis, capital of the southern Brazilian state of Santa Catarina, according to a post on Medium. Awesome stuff. I wonder what films they show, you know what I mean? Like, if they don't show any good films, then guess what? I'm not going to be selling my crypto there. But you know, I'll check it out. Next time I'm in Brazil, you know, we'll see what films I've got going on. And, you know, but then again, with these current prices, the price action, that could be quite an expensive movie ticket. But it's key, and it's great to see more and more retail vendors accepting cryptocurrency and being open to that as well. So in other news, we had some news from Kraken, which has just acquired a UK-based trading firm that specializes in derivatives. So the San Francisco company has also disclosed in an interview with Fortune that it is on the cusp of completing a $100 million funding round financed by its larger customers. The crypto facilities acquisition means Kraken is the first crypto exchange to offer both spot and futures trading in currencies like Bitcoin, Ethereum, and XRP. Kraken declined to share the specific price of the deal itself. So this is the firm that they acquired. Was a London-based futures firm. Super, super great and exciting, not only for the London community, but also for the Kraken Kraken Exchange and all the clients that trade within that, you know, they're really pushing forward and pioneering in their approach, and they're really harnessing the amount of market share they're going to have, especially when this market turns back around. It's been really interesting to see what exchanges are currently doing with regards to market share, especially in this current market condition that we're in. Are people are doubling down on trying to gain new clients, or are people really trying to reserve cash? And what we're seeing is that the big exchanges, the Krakens, the Bitfinexes, the Coinbases out there, are all acquiring new companies with software and technology that they do not have, to basically create their solution to be that better and far superior. So it's really a great time for these exchanges to be doubling down on R&D efforts and doing a lot of acquiring. I know Coinbase Ventures are very active within the space, looking for pioneering technology from all around the world to basically harness their underlying tech thus far. And the other one is Gemini Exchange, the Winkle Voss brothers. They have Gemini Ventures as well, which is acquiring lots of different companies. So it's really interesting to see the exchanges going out into market, acquiring what they can, and basically trying to make their solution the best it can be. All right, so let's talk about hard forks and what you need to know about replay protection. So in July 2016, a continuous hard fork split the Ethereum network into two. A month earlier, the DAO, a decentralized venture capital fund, was hacked and lost 3.6 million Ether of users' funds. The Ethereum development team long resolved to modify the rules of the protocol with a hard fork so that investors of or in the DAO could retrieve their money back, essentially traveling back to a point on the chain before the hack occurred. Not everyone, however, accepted this hard fork. Dissenters continued to support an older version of Ethereum, splitting the chain into two. The version included the DAO hack and was called Ethereum Classic. The unplanned hard fork had unintended consequences, both because chains shared the same transaction history. The hard fork made it possible for replay attacks to occur. A transaction that had been signed, validated on one Ethereum could be replayed to nodes on Ethereum Classic following the attack. A number of exchanges using pre-fork wallets reported replay attacks. Users could withdraw ETH on an exchange and split it into an ETH coin and an ETC coin, Ethereum Classic coin. They would withdraw an unsplit ETH, split it into two coins, and rinse and repeat. Since the withdrawal transaction was replayed on both chains, they were basically getting Ethereum cash for free. Replay attacks, understandably, are damaging to a new coin, and they shake up investor confidence and cause exchanges to suspend withdrawals. Today, Ethereum Classic market cap is roughly 5% of Ethereum's. When Bitcoin Cash hard forked from Bitcoin in 2017, the developers of Bitcoin Cash had learned their lesson from the DAO hard fork and implemented replay protection onto the chain, preventing replay attacks from happening. Last November, however, Bitcoin Cash went through a hard fork of its own, splitting the coin into Bitcoin Cash and Bitcoin Satoshi Vision, Bitcoin SV, because both sides considered themselves to be a true successor of Bitcoin. Neither chain implemented replay protection. Failing to add replay protection can significantly slow down a forked chain's growth. Understanding how replay protection works and how you can protect yourself if developers decline to add such protection to keep yourself safe in any post-hard fork world. So to understand how replay attacks work, we first have to dig into hard forks. A hard fork is a software upgrade to a currency's protocol itself. Nodes running the upgraded software will see blocks produced by the old software as invalid and vice versa. Typically, most nodes on the network will quickly adopt the new version of the software to prevent the chain from splitting. However, if some of the nodes run the new software and the other nodes run the old software, the chain will split in two, which is exactly what happened in the DAO hard fork. So immediately after the blockchain forks, the two resulting chains share the exact same transaction history. Addresses on the new chain end up with the same number of coins that they held on the prior chain prior to the split. They don't just share the same balance, they also share the same private key controlling those addresses. That's where the opportunity for replay attacks surface. When you send a transaction on a blockchain, that transaction is broadcast to nodes on that network for processing. The nodes will check the transactions, confirm the validity of the transaction. So every valid transaction that occurs on a blockchain includes a unique digital signature in the form of a hash code. In a replay attack, a malicious actor could copy the digital signature from a transaction you executed on one chain and then rebroadcast it to other chains, and the new chain would accept it as valid. So, for example, say that Bitcoin is currently valued at $3,000 per coin, and coins on a new fork of Bitcoin are worth $100. You're holding one Bitcoin, and following the hard fork, one coin from the forked chain. You decide to spend your new coin from the fork and buy $100 worth of merchandise from a vendor with the attack. Unfortunately, the vendor that you sent the transaction to is crooked. They broadcast the transaction to the Bitcoin network, which confirms it is a legitimate transaction, and you lose one Bitcoin or $3,000. So, to prevent replay attacks, the developers on one of the two post fork blockchains can make a slight change to transaction rules. Implementing replay protection on the protocol level requires a hard fork. That means that it's a lot easier for the new forked version of that chain to implement replay protection, as it's already initiating a hard fork. So another example, when Bitcoin Cash forked away from the Bitcoin blockchain, its developers added a special marker, the sighash_forkit, to the new blockchain's transactions so that Bitcoin Cash's digital signatures would no longer be identical to Bitcoin signatures. If an attacker were to copy the signature from Bitcoin transaction and send it to the Bitcoin Cash node, it would be rejected as invalid because it lacked the extra marker. Similarly, signatures with the extra marker would be invalid on the Bitcoin blockchain, which protects against replay attacks in the other direction, because this form of replay protection prevents replay attacks on both Bitcoin and Bitcoin Cash. It's called two-way replay protection, or equivalently, strong replay protection. So what's really interesting is the decision of whether to include replay protection following a hard fork has important ramifications for both chains, right? So they need to be working together. If two-way replay protection is offered on the protocol level, as this with the case with Bitcoin Cash, then exchanges, wallets, and users are able to transact in both coins on the original chain and on fork chain without fear of replay attacks. If replay protection isn't offered on the protocol level, things get more complicated. Services like wallets and exchanges will temporarily halt transactions on the new chain until the network stabilizes. If they choose to support the new chain, they'll have to implement their own replay protection or risk being attacked. This is typically achieved by mixing in post-fork transaction outputs, UTXOs, with any new transactional withdrawals. People using crypto assets should consider exercising caution with regards to blockchains that do not offer replay protection at the protocol level. Those who keep their funds in a wallet or exchange that supports replay protection should be able to transact as normal. Although one may wish to wait for any bugs to be ironed out, if a wallet or exchange doesn't support replay protection, investors have two options. One, if they don't plan on transacting in either of the post-fork crypto assets, they can leave their funds in a service that doesn't support replay protection and wait for the service to support it or the protocol to implement it. Number two, if they do wish to use either post-fork crypto assets, they can send their holdings to a wallet or exchange that offers a splitting service that they can use to safely separate the original currency from one forked one. So that's super interesting. You know, I really enjoyed making today's episode. I had a lot of value when I was reading up about the subject of what to do if a fork is to occur. And replay protection as well is something that I wasn't extremely read up about. So I've had a great time making the show. If you've enjoyed the show today, if you've had some value from today's show, feel free to subscribe to the podcast. It means so much to us here at SVK Crypto. And I want to say as well, thank you so much for all the people that have been subscribing over the past couple of weeks. It's blown us away with the amount of subscribers and new listeners that we have as well. So with that in mind, that's a wrap. I've got to bounce. Thank you for your time and attention as always. We really appreciate and value it. If you want to get in touch with us, feel free to email myself, cstory, C-S-T-O-R-R-Y, at svkcrypto.com. And feel free to join our Telegram. That's where it goes down, which is SVK Crowd. Check it out. With that in mind, that's a wrap. And I've got to bounce.